Hello, and welcome to our surprise Christmas special that we didn't intend to do, but we've ended up doing. Rather than discuss what it's like to be autistic at Christmas and like positive and negative, and we're just going to go through things we do and things we like about Christmas and just have a really chilled out time.
So we are going to, in the future, do the formal sort of autistic perspective on coping with Christmas. But as Sophie said, we felt like we needed something a little bit lighthearted this year. So even if you're not autistic, or if you love Christmas and you can't relate to difficulties and things, hopefully there'll be something we talk about, whether it's a story, something we like, that you will relate to, or just enjoy hearing about. So it's going to be really fun, really off the cuff, even though we've done an hour of planning. So yeah, we're just going to talk about Christmas happiness.
So to start with, we're going to talk about things to do with decorations, which I think are a really, really, really key part of Christmas. And I think it often, I don't know if you find this, but to me it often feels like when it feels festive is when you start thinking about putting decorations up.
Yeah, I don't automatically feel festive if they're up.
No.
But I know that's when I'm ready for Christmas, is when I'm like, should I start putting some things up?
So, speaking of decorations, what is your favourite?
Right.
Favourites?
So I've got three. So, I mean, you've already seen these due to a mishap, but here's my Coca-Cola snow globe. Again, I'll shake it to show you because you love snow globes as much as me. So that's my favourite sort of overall decoration. And then, as you will know, every year I get a new Disney ornament for the tree, and they're usually so heavy, so it's actually really hard to hang them up. But this is the one I got this year. So it's Buzz Lightyear in his original, like, rocket box from the movie, and he talks. So I just think it's such an awesome Christmas decoration. I don't know if I'm going to get to put it up this year because I've got nowhere stable to put the tree. So it might just end up sat somewhere for people to press. And this year, we've both been really invested in folklore, Taylor Swift. And for those of you who've heard the single Cardigan, they made a cardigan that you could buy, which we both bought. And they've now released a hanging Christmas ornament of the cardigan. Unfortunately, I don't have that right now, but it's on its way. And those are like the only two Christmas ornaments I think I've bought this year because my mind's not been there. As you pointed out, we're not wandering around looking for things like that. So it's just hard to be thinking of buying Christmas decorations. But those are the two I've got, and they really stood out to me as something I love. So, how about you? What's your favourite?
So, obviously, like, special interests get everywhere. And one of the really lovely things about Edinburgh and Scotland is on the Royal Mile, which is, like, the main sort of, like, touristy shopping bit. It has a shop and it just sells Christmas decorations all year round. And I acquired quite a few when I first went up. This one I didn't get from there, which is my first favourite. And it's a Highland cow. We will put pictures on social medias. And it's just lovely, and I do have it up all year round because I've got like drawn up, so it's easy to just hang stuff everywhere.
So we spoke about favourite ornaments, but what is the weirdest Christmas decoration you've ever had?
So it's one I currently have, and I removed it off my tree especially for this. Is I have a whiskey bottle. And it's single malt. It's got some glitter on it, which I tolerate because it's just the novelty of having a whiskey bottle. And this year I've acquired a gin bottle. But I need to change the colour of the glitter inside it or empty it out, which I think is what I'm going to do. I might put like some cute confetti in it that isn't glitter. So that's my weirdest ornament, my whiskey bottle. And so what's your weirdest Christmas decoration?
I didn't think of any. Actually, I've got one currently. So the things I've wrote about, first of all, because I've made notes in case I forget, or past ornaments. So we never had just an ordinary Christmas topper. So when I was really young, I had Nutcracker Barbie. And because we didn't have a fairy, my mum would use that as the tree topper, which looked super cool. And a couple of years ago, we had a Stormtrooper helmet on top of the tree. And that's still, like, my favourite version of a tree that we ever had.
I love it.
But my weirdest Christmas ornament, so going back years now, we were getting stuff out the loft, I think it was Christmas decorations, and there was just these polystyrene balls everywhere. And my brother was really young at the time, so I was like, oh, look, it's, like, snow. And me and Jake were just, like, skidding on these polystyrene balls. I think my mum came down and Jake was sat in the box, covered in them, so they were just everywhere. So it wasn't too great for my mum, but for us, we were having all kinds of fun. So my mum got these, like, glass jars and filled them with some of those polystyrene balls. Aww. And put a tag on it saying, like, from the Christmas when we made snow. And on that note, there was a Christmas a couple of years ago where it started to snow. It doesn't often stick around here. And me and Jake really wanted snow. So my mum, like, put bin bags down in the hope that the snow would stick to there. Which, of course, didn't work. But it was hysterical.
Now, to the worst decoration you've ever had. Because these exist.
So mine is just related to the fact that I'm autistic and my brain links things. And I always used to be sick over Christmas when I was little. And we had this horrible tree ornament that was a 3D Santa face. There wasn't much colour detail. It was just atrocious. And I remember, like, zoning in. So I was on the couch, like, sleeping on the couch. I was so ill. And all I could focus on was this, like, horrific Christmas Santa face. So I associated it with being sick, to the point where, like, looking at that made me feel nauseous. So that got moved to the back of the tree until someone finally took the initiative to bin it. I don't know if it was me.
Probably. I hope so. I hope it was you, like, no, cursed Christmas Santa's gonna go in the bin.
A funny one, I bought my mum, when I was a teenager, a Nutcracker Christmas tree ornament. And Jake obviously didn't like it. None of us knew this. So, just kept getting took off the tree and put back on. And then we were at my granddad's, and my mum was like, oh, I've got that ornament. And he was like, you gave it to me? And my mum was like, no, I wouldn't have. She had a bag of stuff she'd passed to him, and toddler Jake had toddled over and put the ornament in. Like, someone else can have that now.
I don't want this. Nutcrackers can look a little bit creepy. So my worst ornament is, I love fairy lights, since fairy lighting is a big thing for me, and I adore pine cones, very woodlandy. They just make me feel like, you know, like autumnal and lovely. I love them. And I bought myself a set of string lights with pine cones, and I was like, oh, these will be lovely. I can have these up, add more sensory lighting. And when they arrived, they were covered in gold glitter. Now, I don't like gold glitter. So I had these things that I was so happy with, and I couldn't use them. That was my worst. But on the whole, I've had, like, some good... There was no horrible, bad memory Christmas decorations growing up. So I think everyone's got things that they eat specifically at Christmas, I think, as well, like consumerism and just everything, and the stuff that's only available at Christmas. So what is your favourite sweet that you have at Christmas, or sweet food?
So what we used to do as a Christmas Eve task was buy ready-made gingerbread houses and decorate them and have, like, a bit of a competition who's looked the best. Mine was always, like, special interests featured in there. But no one ever ate them, so they'd end up, like, in the yard. They'd be, like, a decoration for 24 hours before they started to go grim. So we moved on to Yule logs, and none of us are that great at baking. So we didn't make it from scratch. We'd just buy, like, a chocolate swish roll, a nice one, one that we liked. And then we get, for my one, we all had, like, different ones. I'd get a bar of Galaxy and melt it and absolutely cover the swish roll in Galaxy. So it was, like, crunchy, chocolatey heaven. Like, it's up there with Colin the Caterpillar for me. I love this.
Yes.
And we'd decorate that, so there'd be, like, flowers, snow all around it, or sugar. And then we'd get, like, little ornaments that would sit on top of the Yule log. We'd make, like, robin footprints in this, like, fake snow. But people actually ate those Yule logs rather than, you know, abandoning them.
That's good.
So yeah, that's my favourite Christmas sweet, even though we don't do it every year. How about you?
So mine really links back to primary school, and one of the teachers had a husband who's German, and she used to go to Germany like around December, even just like a weekend, and she'd bring back stuff. And she brought back Lebkuchen, which is a German Christmas biscuit. It's very gingerbread, that kind of spicing. And you get ones with apricot jam, which are ones I avoid. So Aldi do ones that are like glazed in like a sugary glaze and then dipped in chocolate on one half. And they are like my favourite thing. I can only get them at Christmas. And it's just kind of, for me, it's like the start of the festive season. And I just love them. They go really well with tea.
So what is your favourite savoury snack then, outside of sweet stuff?
So for us, we don't really do Christmas dinner anymore, especially, we stopped doing it on Christmas Day a few years ago, but it's kind of, like, we do it, but we don't do sort of the big epic event it once was. And my favourite thing is actually that we always get, like, a turkey that's more than we need, and we always have leftovers, and we make them into sandwiches, so we, like, make extra stuffing, so it's like you have turkey and stuffing, and this year we've bought, like, the bacon, the oven bread, so it's like we've got really nice bread, and so it's just, it just always makes me feel, like, Christmassy for whatever reason. It's like having leftovers. So that's mine. What's yours?
Mine is pickled onion and cheese on cocktail sticks, and I eat way too many of them if they're available for Christmas. They're quite, like, a sensory issue to put together, though. Like, I hate dealing with the pickled onions because they're in, like, water of some sort. So it's more if someone else has them available, I will happily eat them. Just don't want to prepare them. And if you've not tried them as, like, an audience member, be very aware that they're quite bitter and an extreme taste. So it might not be something to try for the first time if it might overwhelm you.
I think as a side note to that, which is like, it's not really a favourite, but last year my mum did cheese and pineapple on cocktail sticks. That was not a fun sensory experience. Like, the texture of pineapple with cheese was so grim. My mum found it entertaining on the plus side. Like, I'm glad, like, I provided her some entertainment as I, like, had the horror of cheese and pineapple. The 70s staple that, like, seems to be so fond of to everyone else. But so the next thing is chocolate is a very essential, I think, both of us. So what is the ultimate box of chocolates at Christmas in your eyes?
We go through phases, so it tends to be like every few years we change what one, like, we're really into. I think the past few years has been Quality Street. But I know some people were like, if they've got a big family, you know, the big family gatherings, we don't have them. They each buy one and then mix them into like a super mix, which would be so good. So sometimes we actually end up with a couple, you know, just you get gifted them and things, and so we'll mix them together. But one thing I used to love from autumn right the way through winter, which you can't get anymore, I assume there was just too much sugar in them, is toffee crisp chocolate popcorn. So it was just normal popcorn, like, coated in this really thick layer of toffee crisp chocolate. And oh my gosh, they were amazing, especially for, like, Christmas movies. I've not found, like, any good chocolate popcorn since. So if anyone knows of any, like, I would appreciate a shout. Like, buy it here. So what is your favourite chocolate mix?
So the one that we don't go for phases in our family, it has been Quality Street from like the beginning of my existence to now. And it's also what we have for breakfast on Christmas. Me and my mum like have a fight over the Quality Street box because like the good ones there's only a few of. So the orange crunchy ones are war worthy. Get wounds on Christmas morning. And I think it's just because, I think it's also because it's become so core part of Christmas for us.
So, Christmas decorations and food, they're things that can change every year. Availability, how you're feeling. But one thing that I think you can keep quite stable is media. So, movies, music, stories, games, they're things that if nobody else is around, if you're spending Christmas alone, you can still play your favourite music, watch your favourite movies, and that's quite a comforting thing to have over Christmas. So what is your favourite Christmas movie?
So I'm really not into like overly festive, overly happy and soppy and romantic Christmas films. That's just my personal preference. People can love them. I really don't. And I think, I can't remember if that's really before, but Netflix released Klaus, which is an animated film, and it's gone back to the animation. It's got a beautiful art style, and it's basically about the son of a postmaster who's like sent to this impossible place and given this challenge to like post so many letters, or he's going to be like disinherited or whatever. And he ends up, and it's this town, and it's near the Arctic Circle, and it's like everyone hates each other in the town, and it's just a story about like bringing gifts and like love and friendship and just like joy back to this place. And it's just, it's really nice characters, it's really good character development, it's just really sweet, it's not overly soppy or Christmassy, so I think that's why I like it. And it's just, I'll be watching it probably from every year, and I've enforced it on everyone, so that's my favourite.
So for my favourite movies, there's two. Because Muppet's Christmas Carol is specifically a Christmas Eve movie. I don't watch it any other day. I'm not actually a big Muppets fan, but Muppet's Christmas Carol is just glorious. I absolutely love this movie. With a couple of exceptions, it's one of the only renditions of A Christmas Carol that I like. I even quite like Charles Dickens, but when I was reading A Christmas Carol, I was just like, this is not Muppet's Christmas Carol. It's such like autistic joy, and I have to watch it as a compulsion every year. So because that's like such a routine thing, I picked out one out of like all films equally considered except for Muppet's Christmas Carol, and that's It's a Wonderful Life. So it's about George Bailey, the main character, who at the point where the movie starts, he's struggling with suicidal thoughts. He's hit a really difficult time financially, and it's a little bit cheesy now. It's a very old movie, but there are angels talking about his life. So they literally watch his whole life to see sort of where really impactful things happened and how he ended up at this exact point. And then one goes down, because if he can succeed in making George feel better and no longer be a risk, he will get his angel wings. So what he does is he shows George what his life would be like if he'd never been born, because that's the wish that he's like throwing out there into the universe. And he realizes that his whole life has been so necessary for others. He's really kept other people afloat, and he's kept things really positive, even though it never really felt like it. And I think it can be quite hard, because I like that this movie acknowledges Christmas isn't just a happy time, there are difficulties. But I think, like, if you're someone who watches it and thinks, well, I haven't got my own business like he has, I haven't done all these big things, you can really start to unpick the small things you've done that have made a big difference to other people, even just by chatting with people. So it's a really nice discourse trigger for well-being over Christmas. And it just makes me feel really happy and wholesome. And it ends on a really positive note of what happens when people look out for each other. And I think this year especially, that message is a really, really strong one.
Yeah, I think just kind of, it does sound, I think as well, I'm like the fan of the non-Christmassy films. I mean, I've not seen it because I think, as you said, there's a colour version, but it's in black and white, and I struggle to watch black and white films. Don't know why, I just do.
I struggle to focus on them. I exclusively tend to watch the colour one, unless that's not available for some reason. But I'd recommend it because it's not like shoving Christmas in your face. Yeah. It's very just chill, casual.
I think a film I do want to talk about is Elf, which is 17 years old, which I think's made us both feel old, because I think you probably remember it as well when it came out. I really struggled to watch really cringy films, especially when I was younger, because I'd kind of very much like feel the same cringe and embarrassment, and it would make me feel really uncomfortable. And I love Elf as a concept, as a film. I think it's an absolutely wonderful film, but I found it really difficult to watch.
The first year it came out, I definitely felt that way to the point where I didn't like it. But as I've gotten older and I can appreciate that like childish joy that Buddy the Elf has, because I'm no longer a child, it no longer makes me cringe. That makes me love the movie. Because it's just very festive and over the top, and that's what's fun about it. I've yet to watch it this year. I'm quite looking forward to that this weekend. I say weekend. It's not the weekend anymore, is it? It's Monday. That's where my brain is.
Can't believe it's Christmas in 4 days. Like, it's just
I know.
December's gone so fast.
The whole year just seems to have, at one side of things, gone very slow, very difficult, but also it's like, wow, it's just going quicker than we can keep up with.
It's mad. So then the next thing we had is the favorite Christmas film to be trapped in.
So I prepped Sophie when we were preparing for this on the fact that this is a film I was talking to my partner Alex about, and he thought I'd made it up and just imagined it because it's so out there. So the film's called A Snow Globe Christmas. It's about a woman who bangs her head and ends up inside a snow globe. Like she's trapped in there. So her whole world is this amazing Christmas village that exists in a snow globe, and everything's perfect. And she's someone who's got this like really uptight, busy life. And then in the snow globe, like the busiest thing she has to do is volunteer for like the kids' Christmas play and make that work. And then at the end, it's like she wakes up and the people in the snow globe were real people from her life. So she has to decide whether she wants to seek that out or whether like she's just going back to her normal life. I won't spoil that. But I'd love to be trapped in a snow globe, especially that snow globe with the pretty ornate village. It's just brilliant.
It's too Christmassy for me. I think that's a cool concept though. I mean, I don't think you're making it up. I mean, I can see what Alex was feeling. So basically, mine's not really a film. It's more. So has Shane Dragon have done two Christmas shorts? One of them is on Netflix and it's set in sort of like in between the first and second film. And then they did another one, which is set after the end of the third film, but before the epilogue in the film. I mean, I'd like to be trapped in Birk with all the dragons. Like specifically, like, you know, with the dragons and just, you know, it's the dragons and snow. Lots of lovely snow.
So one thing we're surrounded by every Christmas, to the point where we all end up hating them, is Christmas songs. So what is your favourite?
Unsurprisingly, it's not a very festive one. I adore Fairy Tale of New York.
I love that song.
I love it so much. I think again it like leads back to the fact my music interests are pretty like dour, folky, like country. Country's like a woman scorned in love or like sad. So
It's
like
just so brutally honest, isn't it?
I think I just love it. I think I love the nature of I think like the idea that like Christmas can be hopeful. But like also things can like not be great and it's like just this weird like intermix of everything and it's a lovely duet and it's just it's a lovely song. It's definitely I could listen to that on repeat and not lose my
It's so
mind.
sad, because didn't she
Yeah.
die at Christmas, Kirsty MacColl, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know all the ins and out. I know the song. I don't know.
It was like when George Michael died the day after Christmas. That was so sad, because like he's Mr. Christmas music-wise.
I must admit, with Last Christmas, it took me like my literal thinking, like that I gave you my heart for a while. I was like, you mean like literally? Until, like,
Like tore it out
yeah,
and
then I
gave
realized,
it.
like, okay, it means love. Just giving around organs, like, here's my heart. Like, what's your favorite?
My favourite song is All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey. It's just that climb. It's like so exciting. But Alex cannot stand the way Mariah Carey, I don't, there's probably a word for it. She does that like high pitched note. We call so it goes into overload, and so I can't even listen to this song like most of the time. But even though that's like the best Christmas song for me out of what exists this year, Evermore just feels like a Christmas album. And Tis the Damn Season is the best Christmas song of this year.
Right, this is going to be a really obscure, and if any listener knows what I'm on about, please let me know so I don't feel alone in my like really obscure YouTube Christmas song. So I watch the Yogscast, and I've been watching them for like a decade now, when they do games, they mainly did Minecraft, but they started out playing World of Warcraft. Now World of Warcraft was the first MMO I played. And one of them did a parody of Santa Baby called Arthur's Baby. Now Arthur's was a character in World of Warcraft, I won't go into it, and it was like all themed around World of Warcraft, and it was just so randomly beautiful and just hilarious. Like, I love that as like a nerdy Christmas song. Now you raise the next one. Again, it always comes back to reading with us.
I'm glad you said that. I was thinking that.
The, like, favourite Christmas book. And I said, I don't have, like, a book that's set at Christmas, but I think I was really intrigued to hear about yours. I think there's always been, like, maybe, like, random little short books of, like, Christmas specials of, like, little, like, series I've read, but I wouldn't say, like, any of them I, like, absolutely adored that I talk about. But I said I did have a story, but I'm really intrigued to know what yours is, especially when you told me it's, like, a fantasy Scotland.
Yeah. So it's called In the Time We Lost by Carrie Hope Fletcher, and her style is fantasy, magical realism that brings in all the stories. So there's elements of Frozen. The main character is a lot like Elsa. You just picture like a real adult who's exactly like Elsa. But the story's so much like A Snow Globe Christmas. So it's someone who has travelled to this island, a Scottish island that doesn't really exist. And when she gets there, it starts to snow. And it's like Christmas Groundhog Day. So like she's the only person that's got the memory the next day. And it ends in like a really exciting like cliffhanger way, but not a cliffhanger where it's annoying. It's more just, it really makes you emotionally think about how it's not the ending you want, but it's a better ending because of that. A bit like of Mice and Men. We say that with that all the time when we're doing the analysis. Always goes back to Mice and Men. So yeah, it's one of them really big, impactful endings that makes you think, and it's just like really Christmassy with snow and fantasy. And I think there's like a little cafe that sells hot chocolates as well. It's really nice.
I mean, this sounds like my dream, like a Scottish island with snow and it sells hot chocolate. I mean,
you would love
like,
it.
I mean, you say like it doesn't really exist, but there's that many random islands of Scotland.
Oh, I googled it to make sure because I was like, I'm gonna ask Sophie about so this many, if it's real.
Like it just like uninhabited the like of wildlife and stuff. There's so many. So my favourite story, and this is really cute, and I hope I have it somewhere. So, like, my grandma was always big on getting, like, me and my brother, like, a special Christmas card. And I really love cats, and I've always really loved cats. And one year she bought me a Christmas card, and it was also a little storybook about three little kittens at Christmas. And it all rhymed, and it had these really cute little illustrations of, like, cats trying to, like, decorate a tree and then getting, like, wrapped up and tangled in tinsel. And I must have it somewhere, but I don't know where it is. And it's just, like, it's one of those just really cute things that, like, I kept. And it was, like, this magical moment of, like, oh, it's cats and it's a story. And it's, like, I read everything when I was a kid. So it was just, like, every level of perfect. So that's my favourite story, is, like, the three little kittens at Christmas.
So we spoke about positive media. And one thing I asked you when we were prepping is that there's always divisive games, so games that just leave everyone annoyed, and you're sat there thinking, why did we play that? But you play it every year. So what is the worst family Christmas game that you play?
So we play one single board game at Christmas. We have played this one single board game for my whole life. And it was a board game that was played before I was around. My mum grew up playing. It's like the Christmas board game, and it's Ludo. And it gets really aggressive in my family. Like, it gets, like, my grandma gets really personal with the stuff she says.
The problem is, I'm a very competitive person. And unfortunately, like, it's not like, you know, I've got to win. It's just, I'm very strategic, and that annoys other people, because I'm there like, I've got to win, but I'm chill about it. But the difficulty is, like, a lot of people around me are also very competitive in different ways. So no matter what game it is, there's always that risk. But we play every year Mario Party, which is a video game, but it's a board game through a video game. Do you get me? So, like, it's a board game digitally, and you move around in the same way, and you roll a dice, but you will then, like, have to stop and do tasks to win points, which you do, like, as a mini game. And it starts off so happy, and everyone's being lovely to each other, you know, like, oh god, look, because you're on, like, two teams. By the end, it's like, I hate you, who are you? Everyone's just sat looking at each other like, you won unfairly. And especially because, like, at the end of the video game, you win by collecting stars. And the characters are like, we're going to give out these random stars for, like, really stupid stuff. Like, who done the least amount of moves, and it'll be, like, the lazy star. So then you end up arguing over whether that win was justified or you won because of these silly stars at the end.
It's like a love-hate relationship with board games, but it does. I mean, I'm glad that you'll start off with you all like each other. We know going in. There's no love in Ludo.
I mean, we know, and that's why we try and be really positive and nice, because it's like, let's avoid that this year, and it never works. Everyone always ends up really, like, intense, who's gonna win, and I won't name names, Alex, some can't handle losing, and me and Jake are, like, ultimate brother and sister team, like, if we're winning, we're high-fiving, it's like, yes, come on, gearing each other up, and there's Alex, like, don't know if I like you anymore.
I think board games do definitely test. I mean, like, me and my grandma can fall out over Scrabble. So moving on, because I think, as you said, like, there's a lot of media stuff. It's very central. It's a pillar of Christmas. I think it's also one of the times is that you can just, like, sit unashamedly and just watch stuff.
I was about to say, and eat chocolate. We're so busy all year. That's the one time you can go, those things I wanted to watch or I like to read,
yeah,
I can do it now and I don't have to feel guilty anymore.
It's nice this year because, like, for the past, like, 3 years of uni, I had, like, a Christmas exam, so it's like Christmas was not, I had January exam, so Christmas was not a free period for me. Christmas was like a crucial revision time. So this year it's going to be really nice. But I think we're going to say, what TV shows that we just binge over Christmas?
For me, because I was thinking about this, me and Alex were having a chat about non-Christmassy TV shows that feel Christmassy because you just happen to watch them at Christmas or they're released at Christmas. So BBC Sherlock always felt Christmassy because it was only ever released over winter. Even though it's, like, not every year, there's constantly big gaps. But that feels like a Christmas show, even though it's so gritty and, like, crime related. But for me, I realised The Witcher feels like a Christmas TV show because I was just watching it on loop last year. It only came out last year and it's already stuck. So I'm already, like, planning, scheduling, and, like, when to rewatch The Witcher because it's Christmassy, even though it's not remotely. It's just Christmassy in my head. I would have loved it if season 2 came out now. But I realised because Netflix posted, like, are you having a Witcher Christmas? And I was like, actually, that's a Christmassy thing in my head. Also, like, as you know, even though I've got a lot of games, I always just replay Witcher 3, and that always hits at Christmas. I'm always sat playing one playthrough of some sorts of The Witcher 3, so that makes it feel even more Christmassy. So what TV show do you binge over Christmas?
I think I often find it's the stuff I've like maybe wanted to watch. I often tend to catch up with the comedy shows I watch over Christmas.
I love Big Fuckers of the Year.
I also, that's the one I've never really watched, and this year I'm making a point to watch it. Like, I see, like, tonight, to date the episode, recording the 8 out of 10 Cats Christmas specials on, and I love it. Does Countdown? I love it, because it's, like, normal people who aren't expert spellers doing Countdown. It's like, have you got the maths number, and they're all just like, no.
So, because you don't really have a TV show that you binge, you just catch up, do you have a special episode of a TV show that you really like a Christmas special?
Right, so again, this is where, like, last year has, like, taken, like, the throne, is the Gavin and Stacey Christmas special after years of not having it, and then they're like, we're doing a Christmas special, and it was this glorious thing for anyone who, like, had watched and loved Gavin and Stacey. It just kind of, like, rounded a few things off, and it was, like, just this wonderful, and, like, Bryn cooking a Christmas dinner, and it just, like, not working out as planned feels, like, a lot like how I'd be if I was cooking a Christmas dinner, so I think other than that, I think I always loved Vicar of Dibley and, like, their Christmas specials. And then, of course, you've got the... There's so many, and I think Christmas specials, they stay with you.
For me, I love all of the Friends special episodes. I don't actually watch that many shows that have Christmas specials. Like, I don't watch much terrestrial TV. So, it's, like, American series that I watch. But because, like, I generally love Friends and it's something I'll just throw on anyway. I love the Holiday Armadillo app. The one with the Holiday Armadillo, it's called. So it's Ross dressed as a Holiday Armadillo wanting to teach his son about Hanukkah because it's the only costume he could get. And then Chandler comes in as Santa and Joey comes in as Superman. But the pinnacle is when Phoebe's like, am I at a... She says something like, am I at the Easter Bunny's funeral? And then she asks why a porcupine's there.
So I think our final little, like, random bits of things are just kind of general stuff. And I think the first one we said, like, non-Christmassy things you do at Christmas, because I think it comes back to that. It's often a time when it's a break, it's time to maybe give ourselves some free time and not feel guilty about it, to do the things that we wouldn't do, like, in a normal week.
I think also, as autistic people, you have to do some grounded things that are away from the difference and the change. Things that just make you feel quite happy and chill, that aren't, like, majorly Christmassy, basically.
So, what is a non-Christmassy thing you do?
The two things I always try and find the time to do, one is Lego. So I don't get more Lego each year because that would be impossible to store. But I will, like, deconstruct what I already have and then rebuild it. And that's usually, like, a Boxing Day habit, just to, like, reground and cope from the come down of the difference. And then at some point over Christmas, I always end up watching the Harry Potter films back to back. Not on the same day. But in general, that always makes me feel just really cozy and happy and looking forward to the new year. Sometimes I wait until the new year if it's, like, going to be bleak with nothing to do.
Yeah.
Then that's the thing that I will do. And sometimes rope other people into it so it becomes a social event.
I like that. It's like, you will watch Harry Potter with me and you class it as social. I think for us it was always, like, one of the few times that we'd all sort of be together. Like, I speak to my brother online, but, like, for him to, like, come over and, like, see us, it was, like, always kind of the one day it was, like, a thing. And one of the things we'd do is we'd save, like, a film that, like, usually my brother would be like, oh, mum needs to watch this. And so we've, like, watched some Ghibli films a couple of years ago. And last year we watched, Netflix did a film about Robert the Bruce, so, like, Scotland themed, and that was really, really good. So there's always, like, a completely non-related, like, Christmas thing we watch. And it's just nice because it just is, like, grounded. It just feels like sitting down watching a film. and you're not focused on it. It's usually in the 3 hours where we're sulking after Ludo.
So the last episode we recorded, you said that you don't like Christmas traditions. So I'm wondering, do you have any exclusive to like your family household that you think other people might find interesting and that you don't mind so much?
Yeah, I think as I sort of said, like in between, I said it's more Christmas the way people like cling. So one of ours is, since we've got older, we are not to wake my mum up before 9 o'clock. Like, that is, like, rewarded with a stare to make you, like, be scared. We do not wake mum up before 9 a.m. That has become a thing now. She used to give us, like, if we got a game, we'd get that on Christmas Eve. So it's like, right, you can wake up and you play your game. And you don't come near me till 9 a.m. So that's, like, one of our Christmas traditions now it's become. I feel like fighting over the Quality Street has become a Christmas tradition. It's like a horrible thing.
So one thing we've always done that is now actually quite popular, but it never used to be. Like, all my friends used to be like, what? Why'd you do that? We make a big deal out of Christmas Eve. Christmas Day is pretty chill. So Christmas Eve is always like really excitable. And one thing we started doing, because like everyone always would give things like pajamas, Christmas Eve pajamas, and things like that. But on top of that, we started to do a Christmas Eve gift. And that would be something small, sentimental. We would usually set a budget. And it would, there was a point where it went from one gift to three, and it would be something to eat, something to do, and something sentimental to keep. So just like really cheap little quirky things that are fun. But it sort of evolved a bit, so this year, like, the main people I buy for have got Christmassy boxes with a few things in. And it was so strange to see it become commercialised when, you know, consumerism was like, buy Christmas Eve gifts, buy a box. Because this was always just like a little sweet thing that we'd done, and now it's became like so corporate. But I think, like, what I tend to do with people over Christmas, unless it's someone who's just, like, easily pleased, I will buy something that they want within budget. So Christmas Eve is an opportunity to get a sentimental surprise where I'm, like, completely able to think about what is it I want to get that person. And I will think about that all year. Like, there'll be a moment that triggers it in that year where I'm like, that's the sentimental gift I want to get for that person. So yeah, I think that's like the biggest tradition that we do. But there's a lot of traditions in the world. A lot of traditions just in England. So is there anything that other people do as a tradition that you absolutely do not get? Like, you just can't understand it.
Being nice to each other after board games, like, who has these nice families that don't like want to avoid each other. I think just the kind of, oh right, I know, when people set fire to a Christmas pudding, like, that is a health and safety risk. That is,
I don't know if that's
right. No, right, okay, people basically douse it in brandy. I don't like Christmas pudding, and I don't like brandy, and I don't like fire, so this is like just hell on
I've never had Christmas pudding.
People, I don't like, mum likes it. Mum's the person likes it. We get like a little one for ourselves. You can often get gluten-free ones, which is good now. But yeah, and you can flambe it. So basically you cover it in brandy and then you can just light it and it'll burn off the alcohol. And I'm just like, why would you do that? Why would you have fire? Did you call? No. I don't actually know anyone who actively does it, but I know it's a thing and it just confuses me. And people who don't open their presents, like, is the first thing they do. How can you wait knowing there's parcels there of things for you?
Because mine is eggnog, and I feel like that's a cultural difference, because I've only ever heard of Americans talking about it. I don't know if anyone in the UK has it. But I absolutely just can't understand it. I've never had it, so I shouldn't judge. I can't have egg anyway. but it just sounds disgusting, and I can't understand why people look forward to that at Christmas. It just sounds grim.
I think, I mean, more wine, as someone who hates wine, sounds grim to me. I think it's just the idea of, like, raw egg in something that just, like, confuses me.
Mulled wine is too bitter, but if you have non-alcoholic mulled wine, it's amazing, because you can control, like, the sweetness factor and balance it out a bit better. So, that was our Christmas episode. It's a little bit shorter than usual. It was very sort of unplanned, except for the questions that we came up with. So I hope everybody has happy, stress-free time, even if you don't like Christmas. I hope it doesn't overload you and that you manage to find something to enjoy with this difficult year.
Yes, I think basically the same sentiments what Melissa said. I hope everyone find something positive and lovely about this Christmas and New Year. And that's been us.